Quickly, Lord, from Selected Psalms. This is an exposition of Psalm 70. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, October the 4th, 2017.
Have you ever gone into a store and a salesperson came up and said, "Can I help you?" And you said, "I hope you can." And they say, "Well, what do you need?" And you say, "Well, I don't really know. I don't know what to call it, but it's kind of a thing, and it you use it for this." And I saw one once, and it kind of, and as you describe it, they their face lights up, and they say, "I know exactly what you're talking about. Those are great. Those work better than anything I've ever seen." You get all excited, and you say, "So you carry those?" "Oh no, they quit making those years ago." Or maybe you finally got a chance to get away. It's been rough. You've been busy. There's been so much going on in your life. And you finally get a couple of days off, and you're just going to get out of town. And you're going to have a few days away from the rat race and just relax and take it easy and do a little fishing. And so you stop at the bait shop as you get near the lake or the river. And the guy at the bait shop says, "Man, you wouldn't believe how they've been biting. I haven't seen this kind of action in years, and it all stopped yesterday. Crazy thing. It just all stopped." Or maybe you've known this stretch of road for a long time, and it's usually desolate. There's never anybody on it. It's late at night, so there's especially not anybody on it. You're tired, you're in a hurry, and so you're pushing the speed limit a little bit. Maybe you're going over a little bit. And it's late, there's no one on the road, everything's fine, and you top the hill and those flashing lights greet you. Or, everybody you know has made a killing on this stock, and you bought it the day before it plunged. Timing is everything. Do you ever feel like you've got the worst sense of timing in the world? And, have you ever been frustrated with God and His timing? Now, it's Wednesday night. It's just us here, so you can be honest about it. You ever frustrated with God's timing? You ever find yourself wondering, "Lord, I know that You know all things, and I know that You work in all things, but honestly, right now, I'm wondering if maybe You took a nap. Are You really aware of what's going on?" Have you ever found yourself desperate and wondering why the Lord hasn't responded sooner? Our text tonight is found in Psalm 70. It's a brief psalm, and we're going to look just quickly at those five verses. It's another psalm of David. Now, the interesting thing about it is this psalm, Psalm 70, is a rehashing of a previous psalm. The same thing happened back in Psalm 53, which was a rehashing of Psalm 14. And now in Psalm 70, it's a reworking of Psalm 40. So, it makes me feel better about preaching the same text again. If it's good enough for David, it's good enough for me. He's rehashing the same themes. He's going over the same issues again. Because it's a rehashing, a lot of commentators just skip Psalm 70 altogether. But I think that would be a mistake. As we come to Psalm 70, David's in trouble, yes, again. I think it's important to note that David is described as a man after God's own heart. Though he failed miserably on occasion, David, for the most part, walked with God. He usually walked in fellowship with God, and yet he was constantly in danger. So much for the health, wealth, and prosperity theology. Even the godly struggle. Even the godly experience heartache, and yes, sometimes even despair. As we walk through this psalm, here's what I want us to understand. In times of great distress and struggle, the righteous waver between the urgency of their struggle and the certainty of God's deliverance. Even righteous folks, even those who genuinely believe, who have real, genuine, honest faith in God, who put their trust in Christ can find themselves in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of distress and heartache and pain, wavering about how desperate their circumstance is and yet certain of God's deliverance. Faith doesn't make you immune. Belief and trust in Christ doesn't mean that you're never going to struggle. Too often we expect the Christian life should be without struggle, that if we're struggling, somehow there's something wrong with our faith. But faith does not eliminate doubt or confusion. Just a couple of things I want to point out as we walk through the psalm. First, in verse 1 down through verse 4, the righteous prayerfully seek God's intervention in times of great struggle. Now, again, that should go without saying. That should be obvious, but the righteous seek God's intervention. Pray, plead for God to intervene, for God to do something. That's not wrong. It's not wrong in the midst of our pain. It's not wrong in the midst of heartache that we cry out to God and cry out with a sense of urgency. Look at the passage. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let them turn back because of their shame, those who say, aha, aha. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. So David is crying out to the Lord in the midst of his heartache, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of stress. He cries out and he pleads with the Lord. And this is one of those 911 prayers. You read the opening words and you understand this is a desperate man. This is an urgent circumstance. He is in serious trouble. He doesn't have time to be eloquent in his praying. He gets right down to business. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Some of you have probably seen and probably have even used yourself that little acrostic for prayer, ACTS, A-C-T-S. It's a handy little guide to help you in your praying, to help you keep on track and make sure that you're focusing where you need to. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. So it's a nice way to look at your praying and say, you know, as I come before the Lord, here are the things I need to keep in mind. I want to begin with adoration. I want to begin by acknowledging God's greatness, God's glory, to thank Him for who He is, to adore Him. Then I move into confession where I acknowledge my sin. Then I move into thanksgiving, thanking God. And then finally, I ask Him for what I need. I present my supplications. It's a nice acrostic. It is very helpful. Problem is, David didn't have time to follow the formula. Things were desperate. Things were difficult. And so he begins by just crying out. He's not following the proper order. He simply cries out, make haste. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. This is the cry of a desperate man. He jumps straight into the supplication because he is hurting, because he is desperate. Something else kind of stands out that could be a little bit troubling. He starts with himself. He didn't start with God. He didn't start acknowledging. He didn't start with others. Starts with himself. Hey, make haste for me. Hey, deliver me. Come quickly to save me. Again, that's not wrong. There are those who are seeking his life. There are those who mock him. That is the implication there in verse 3. Those who say, aha, aha. They're mocking, they're ridiculing him. And so he cries out in desperation, make haste, come quickly. In fact, four times in just those five verses, he tells the Lord, you need to do something now. You need to respond now. I need to be delivered now. I need an answer now. This is a desperate man, and desperate people cry out. There's something about pain. There's something about heartache. There's something about struggle that boils things down. And we tend to be very honest with where we are, raw about our need. Now, I don't want to suggest that David was all consumed with himself, because he does pray for his enemies. It's just not exactly the kind of prayer that we remember the Lord telling us we need to pray. You remember, in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Do good toward them. All those kind of things. But look carefully at David's prayer in verses 2 and 3. Let them be put to shame and confusion, those who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let them turn back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. That contrary to the will of God? Is David in the wrong for praying this way? I don't think so. It may look that way on the surface, but I don't think so at all, because David is praying and asking that his enemy's evil plans be frustrated. It's not simply his saying, they hurt me and I want you to get them. He's saying, I want their evil plans to come back on them. I want their evil plan to fail. He says, I don't want their evil ways, their evil plans, their evil desires to succeed. Now, if you really want the best for your enemies, you'd pray the same prayer. I want their evil plan to fail because I don't want them to be encouraged to pursue their evil pursuits. Ultimately, that's not in their interest. So it's not entirely wrong. And granted, we have to check our spirit. We have to make sure that it's not a matter of vengeance. But let's not automatically think the worst. David also prayed for the righteous in verse 4, that they may delight in God Himself. Look at it. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say forevermore, God is great. So he does pray. He prays for himself at the beginning, but he also prays for his enemies that their evil plans wouldn't succeed, that their evil would come back on them, that they would suffer so that they might be corrected. He prays for other believers that they may know the blessing of God and that they might delight in God Himself. So I think it's important to note that David, in the midst of his struggle, prayed for others who struggled. Have you ever thought, has it ever crossed your mind to pray for others when you're hurting? Has it ever come across your mind that in your heartache, in your discouragement, in your depression, in your distress, this might just be the perfect opportunity to pray for others in that same condition, because who better knows what they need? Who better understands their pain? Who better understands their heartache than you, because you're there yourself? James Boyce put it this way in his commentary. Let your trials teach you how to pray for others. Take advantage of your pain and your heartache and see it as a reminder and as an opportunity to pray for others who may be struggling. The righteous seek God's intervention in the midst of their struggle. Second, there in verse 5, the righteous base their hopes on their own weakness and God's great provision. Now, G. Campbell Morgan was a great pastor of Westminster Church in England. He's a great expositor. Normally, he's very helpful and very insightful. But when he dealt with Psalm 70, verse 5, he said, quote, "David's faith failed," here at the end of the psalm. He is pleading for God's intervention, but he does not believe it will come in time. Now, far be it from me to set myself up as a great authority, but I have to disagree with G. Campbell Morgan on that one. I don't read it that way at all. I don't read verse 5 as David's giving up. I don't read verse 5 as David's faith failing him. What I read in verse 5 is David refusing to presume upon what God will do or what God must do. See, there are those who think that when you and I pray, "Lord, here's what I want you to do. Lord, I want you to heal my child. Lord, I pray that you would come and in a supernatural way that you would touch my grandchild and make them whole, that you would bring healing to their body, that you would deliver them if it be your will." And there are those in the church who would say, that's a lack of faith. Say it believing. Say it trusting. I don't think it's a lack of faith at all to say, "Lord, your will be done." It's an acknowledgement that, "Lord, this is my heart's desire, and I know you're capable of it. I believe fervently with all of my being that you can do this if you choose, but I submit to your lordship because you know better than I do whether this is the right thing or not." That's what it means. And that's what David is doing here. He's acknowledging his weakness. And he at the same time acknowledges God's great power. Look at what he says. "But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay." So it's not a matter of giving up. It's not a matter of faltering in his faith. Instead, I think it's a great expression of faith. He confesses two things. Number one, he's poor and needy. He's acknowledging that he's helpless. He's acknowledging that he can't do anything about his circumstance. And second, he acknowledges and confesses with great faith that God is his help and his deliverer. That's not a cop-out at all. It's not a lack of faith at all. That is an expression of great faith. Too many folks believe that the Bible actually teaches God helps those that help themselves. Well, chapter and verse, where do you find that? You don't. It isn't there. The fact is, we cannot save ourselves. We are absolutely and totally dependent upon the grace of God. This is not weak faith, it's great faith, calling out to God urgently because the need is great and because God is great. And so he comes to the end of the psalm and he cries out again, "O Lord, do not delay." The early church used to cry, "Maranatha, Lord, come." The promise of Scripture to us as believers in Revelation 22 is, "I'm coming soon." The fact is, life is no bed of roses. Life in this sin-cursed world is often hard and difficult. So in times of great distress, in times of struggle, the righteous waver between the urgency of the struggle and the certainty of God's deliverance. The righteous prayerfully seek God's intervention, and the righteous base their hope on their own weakness and God's great provision. Acknowledge, "I can't do anything about this, but you can." It acknowledges, "I have no right to demand this, but I plead with you because you're good, and because you're gracious, and because you're powerful. It's an acknowledgement of the strength and power, the goodness and the grace of God. So, next time you're struggling, the next time you become convinced that God's timing is off, remember Psalm 70. Cry out. Cry out with urgency. Plead. Lord, come with haste. Deliver me. But always come back to acknowledge, I'm weak, you're strong. I'm weak, I can't do anything, but you can do anything. And so I yield to you and your gracious, loving power.
You've been listening to the TBC Tulsa podcast, which features the preaching ministry of Pastor Rod Harris at Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.